The final case on the docket today is case number 2017-653, Nancy and Thomas Ross versus the Cuyahoga County Board of Revision. The appellant has waived oral argument and representing the county appellees, Mr. Greenfield.
Well, thank you, Your Honor. Notwithstanding that introduction, may it please the court, of course, my name is Mark Greenfield. I am counsel for the Cuyahoga County appellees. And I would ask that this honorable Supreme Court affirm the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals dismissing, granting this appellee's motion to dismiss the appeal of Ross's. The issue here is whether an appeal was timely filed to the Board of Tax Appeals. Everyone in the matter acknowledges that there was a notice of appeal filed on the 1st of November to the Board of Revision, and that's really the issue. It's the Board of Revision timeliness or lack thereof. November 1st, but that was the 34th day. After the my client filed the motion to dismiss, in response, the appellant argues that their appearance at a statutory meeting, a special meeting of the Board of Revision, and their discussion of the matter qualifies as a notice of appeal. We disagree, as did the BTA. The issue is, as I stated in the brief proposition of law to this court, notice of appeal must first be filed before it is considered timely. And they didn't actually file anything by the 30th day. And they admit such. The filing of a timely notice of appeal, be it at the BTA or here also at the BOR, goes to the core of efficient procedural efficiency. It's not a substantial compliance test. The Austin case cited in my brief, Austin Company versus Cuyahoga County Board of Revision, 46 Ohio State 3rd, 192, where somebody was arguing in another case that the verification requirement wasn't so important. We distinguish the verification requirement from the timely filing requirement. We regarded the latter requirement to be essential, that is the filing, timely filing requirement, because it ran to the core of procedural efficiency. The 30-day requirement is an appellate statute of limitations, and failure to comply with it properly leads to the dismissal of the appeal, since substantial compliance has not occurred. Again, nothing was filed. I've attended, as they are my client, special meetings of the Board of Revision. You sit around in a room. I imagine they're not all exactly the same. You have discussion. Public comment is permitted. Mr. Morton appeared there. I was not there at the meeting. He appeared there. He made verbal comment. He submitted his words in his brief. He submitted a memorialization of that comment, which was then attached to the minutes, which of course my client put the minutes together. The minutes don't say anything about anything being filed. They say comments were submitted, which were again a memorialization. You can't file anything at a special meeting. He didn't try to file anything there. And for that reason, this court should affirm. Additionally, the note, anything he actually submitted, aka the public comment, was not actually a notice of appeal. Over the years, the BTA has, I think correctly, lessened the standard for what constitute a valid notice of appeal, again, assuming that something was filed, which it was not here. And you don't need to use the DTE-4. You don't need necessarily to include all of the information that's on the DTE-4. If you get something wrong, depending what it is, that's okay. If it's on different pieces of paper, as long as they can figure it out from what you've actually submitted. But here, the piece of paper, which again was a memorialization of comment and not a filing, doesn't even say that it's an appeal or a notice of appeal, as this court, as the BTA pointed out, I think it's in David Leach, I'm not sure which it's cited in my brief, where the appellant, all they did was write, notice of appeal, I'm appealing this decision and listed. That's absent from anything that was submitted to the BOR, completely absent. Interestingly, in his counsel's brief, in Ross's counsel's brief, the brief all but admits, it's not evidence, understandably. Ross, again, I'm quoting from page 4 of his brief to this court, the merit brief. Ross again appealed the decision of the BOR to the BTA. No question about his having filed timely at the BTA. Filing the notice of appeal, okay, appendix, the BTA docketing letter, we know the docketing letters are not, do not fulfill the duty of an appellant, advised the fiscal officer of the notice of appeal. Then he went to a meeting. He made public comment, I'm paraphrasing. He verbally notified the BOR of the filing of the appeal, meaning that he had already filed at the BTA. Again, that's only half of what he needed to do, or no more than half of what he needed to do. He also notified the BOR of the errors, and that, although it's not right in front of me, that as a result of these kinds of decisions, taxpayers were going to be no longer paying their taxes, which I can say, because I've been here when he said it, he's made those same arguments to this very court. In sum, this court, this honorable court, should affirm the decision of the BTA dismissing the appeal, and for the reason that no notice of appeal was timely filed. And thank you.
Thank you very much. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of the decision.